Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather around the radio. It's time now for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people. And the host and founder of the program is Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a champion in the battle against ageism. On today's program, she'll be talking to some interesting folks at the top of the hour. She'll be talking with Kyle Richards and Dr. Christopher Starr. Kyle Richards is the aunt of Paris Hilton and the star of Bravo's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Dr. Starr completed his residency training at Harvard Medical School and completed an advanced fellowship program in cornea, cataract, and laser vision correction surgery at Johns Hopkins University. And they're going to be talking to Carol about a pretty serious problem that lots of folks suffer with. It's called chronic dry eye. That's coming up in the half hour ahead. But let's kick the program off right now with Carol Marx in conversation with a fascinating woman, Betty Halbreich. She's 86 years young and the longtime head of Solutions Personal Shopping Service at Bergdorf Goodman. She's going to talk to Carol about her fantastic new book, I'll Drink to That, A Life in Fashion with a Twist, published by Penguin.
And you've been thinking about your whole life, and, you know, it's been so interesting because, you know, there was a retail background in your family, and you wanted to be a painter, but your father didn't want you to work. It came from a wealthy background. So what was it that made you get out there into the world where you needed a job?
Circumstances. But, you know, I have been blessed by friends. I mean, I think I give back, but you never can give back enough. And
true.
From the very onset, when things were going completely downhill, and I dragged myself downhill, there's no question. I was a person that I blame me for a lot of it. Those people I knew, and there were always new people in the offing, always came to my side. So they saw something in me that I truly couldn't face. I can't even face myself in a mirror, if you can believe such a thing. I've never felt my true worth, and have kept going on and on and on. I don't know if I'm trying to prove it to myself or to others. It's never good enough. I don't know if you know that feeling.
Oh, yes, and you know all the people that I have interviewed that, and so many of them tell me that they feel it's not good enough before every performance, every painting they draw, everything they do. Well, they are the most successful. So let me tell you, that's a good way to feel.
I know that. Well, you never become too imbued with yourself.
Absolutely.
Seen it happen with actors, and I've seen it happen with the ladies I dress.
And
I'm not interested in that. That's not what my thrust is. What I want to do is first of all, I like the creation of what I do. You know, it's hard. It's an 8:30 to 5:30, 5 days a week job. But I chose that, and I choose that. No one is holding a whip over my head and saying, you've got to do this. You know, this is something I chose. I'm driven. Yes, I understand all of that. And I complain a lot verbally, but I keep going.
Absolutely.
And I don't think it's only my age. I think it's my psyche. I think that was what was born in me. I was brought up that way.
Your genes. You did something that I thought was quite remarkable when you started out as a sales girl at Bergdorf's. And it was difficult for you to do the things, everyday things like...
Oh, add is number one, was adding and subtracting. The cash register was my nemesis.
But how were you so smart? You came up with something that just wasn't done. You said, hey, I don't want to take a penny in commission, but pay me my salary. And that has worked out magnificently.
Do you understand that psychological part of it? Because very important to me. I always felt that if you took, every time you sold a dress, you got a nickel for it, let's say. You know, a nickel, not a Bergdorf Goodman, of course. But every time you sold something, you're paid back for it through your salary with something that just didn't stick in my craw. I mean, I took less salary and had more clearness of head that I could sell with true honesty, you know. And that's how I've been doing it for 37 years. I'm blunt, I'm honest, and it's always going to be that way.
And, you know, you have some very insightful ideas about women's spending habits when it comes to what we wear. And why do you say that we want too many outfits and shoes, and you also don't agree with buying in bulk? Because that's something a lot of people do.
In bulk, they return it, or they store it away in their closet. Do you know some people never take the price tags off of things and have them in their closets for years?
I have one or two like that.
Isn't that a tragedy?
Yes.
To quote an actress long ago when I brought her, I think I put it in the book, and it's always stuck in my brain. When I brought her a dress, and in those days, this is going back a long way, it was $125, and she said to me, "Do you know how many meals this will buy the children in Biafra?" And I said to her, "No, because I don't even know where Biafra is."
Wow.
That's a long time ago that dress cost $125.
So you really say that it's better to buy less, but buy better.
And absolutely. Selectively, not better. Selectively.
And
how much do we need?
I like the idea so much that you point out, hey, every piece in your wardrobe you want to put together, it doesn't have to be expensive. You can have a really good jacket that's timeless, that's always going to be in style. But under that, you can put a less expensive white blouse, for
example. Exactly, or a wonderful T-shirt. Dressing has become so laid back. Either you're dressed to the hilt for the evening performance, and during the day, I was watching a bunch of young women go early this morning when I was collecting some handbags. And they were dressed in leather jackets, tight, tight pants, T-shirts, and Hermes bags. Both of them had very costly Hermes bags. I thought, we wouldn't have thought about this 10 years ago. We wouldn't put ourselves together that way. I guess it's called eclectic. You know, it's sort of a laid-back way of dressing with the T-shirts and the expensive bags and the leather jackets and whatever and the tight, tight pants. It's become a uniform in New York, and it's the same everywhere today. New York isn't any different. People don't dress any different in Chicago, New York, Los Angeles. You know, everybody's onto the same wagon.
Absolutely. And you have so many wonderful stories in your memoir, and you basically give people wonderful advice. Sometimes they don't want it, but they're always happy afterward. And you have a wonderful story about President Gerald Ford, because you had to tell him how to carry a garment bag. He'd gone in to Bergdorf's to pick up a dress that had been altered for Betty.
Well, they were both here at that time. She was in the dressing room.
Okay.
He was sitting in my office. And then he waited to pick up the altered dress while she went back to the Waldorf to have her hair done and whatever. They were attending some big evening at the Waldorf. And he waited for that dress to be pressed and altered in my office. And when the dress came down all nightly, pressed and all stuffed with tissue paper and the whole 10 yards, I handed it to him, and he casually threw it over his arm. And I said, no, we don't casually throw it over our arm that way. We take the hanger, and we hold it high. Now, he was 6 feet tall. I said, you've got to hold that up until you get to the Waldorf Astoria, because if there's a crease in that dress, you're responsible for it. They were the dearest couple in the whole world, actually.
Then he told you that he couldn't believe it. You were telling him to carry a dress, and you came back with the most wonderful statement. I just love what you told him.
Well, he turned to his Secret Service men and said, see what Betty's doing? She's teaching me how to hold a dress. Now, those were the wonderful part. Look, there have been so many wonderful instances in this lifetime. You know, that's a whole other book. quips and quips and quips and things that people have said to me over the years. I wish I'd kept a diary.
Well, it's never too late.
I do regret it.
Now, you said that being on top of current fashions, and we just mentioned, you know, what some of them were, has helped you to keep feeling young. So what do you think about some of the things? We discussed some of the, you know, things that people are doing, but some of the things that I see all the time, you know, make me shake my head, and that's people running around with so many tattoos, men walking around looking unshaven, and then there are the young girls walking around with naked legs and 5 below 0. So what the heck are they thinking about?
Well, they don't wear stockings anymore or pantyhose, but let me tell you, in New York, when it's very cold in the winter, that's another phenomenon.
Do you think
there's no accounting for taste. And I think we're going through a whole fashion, I don't know, segment of our lives that is something that I don't quite understand. But you realize I have to understand it. I have to run with that wave. I can't walk to a different drummer, even if I think differently. I've got to go along with that, you know, that everyone's quoting me, but that white jean syndrome that we had all summer, that I had every size, shape, and behind, I kept seeing in these tight white jeans. We become sort of a nation of sheep when it comes to fashion. What happened to gloves and nice shoes and hose, you know?
All those things. I kind
of. But then you start to sound old, you
that's
see?
That's right. That's right. But that's, you know, I think that you were so right. I agree with you 150% when you say that you rely on classic pieces that will withstand passing fads, because I do think that there'll be new fads about some of the things that we've talked about today. And what did you mean when you suggested that you should treat clothes, your clothes, like a painting?
A painting?
A beautiful piece of art.
Well, that depends on what clothes we're talking about.
Right.
I'm very meticulous about how I keep my own clothes, you know? But as far as I live in my retro closet. To me, those are pieces of art. My Jeffrey Bean jackets and my Jeffrey Bean little dresses that I bring out every spring. Now, you know, these clothes are like 12, 14. He's been dead 10 years. These clothes are 12 years old or more. I mean, I can go back even further. Some of the clothes I can't even get into, but I still keep them. And that's like collecting art. I have Bill Blass dresses that I wore at my, I think, my nephew's wedding. I think he's in his 50s. I go back to Chester Weinberg that I have in. Donald Brooks I have in my closet. My mother came one time and made me take a clean sweep of the closets and made me get rid of all my, I had Christian Dior's and all kinds of things. Those are collectibles today.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you were a very good friend of the great lady and comedian Joan Rivers, who passed away. And you spoke at a book signing that you had about some of the things you had in common and believed in. And one of them was that you both considered retirement really akin to death. And I know that you feel that way. And I do, too, as long as I'm in good health. I want to keep working. Any other comments about that?
Oh, I suspect I'm going to work until I drop over here. I hope they're ready. I don't know how they're going to remove the body. I don't know. They might just step over me. They're so used to seeing me here. I've been here 37 years.
That's Betty Halbreich, 86 years young, in conversation with Carol Marx. Her book is titled, I'll Drink to That, A Life in Fashion with a Twist. Published by Penguin. Carol Marx returns momentarily in conversation with Kyle Richards and Dr. Christopher Starr. The conversation will be about chronic dry eye. That's next. When A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues in a moment.
A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself. Because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names, it's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online. From building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase, hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and here again is our host, Carol Marks, in conversation with Kyle Richards and Dr. Christopher Starr. Kyle Richards is the aunt of Paris Hilton and the star of Bravo's Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Dr. Starr is a physician, very accomplished. He completed his residency training at Harvard Medical School and completed an advanced fellowship program in cornea, cataract, and laser vision correction surgery at Johns Hopkins University. They're going to talk to Carol about a condition known as chronic dry eye.
Now, Kyle, I want to start out with you asking you about the fact you've been working since you were 4 years old. You were on the set of Little House on the Prairie. Did you have any eye problems when you were young?
No, I never had eye problems as a child. I started noticing my eye issues the first season of The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills about 5 years ago. But it took me a long time to finally get to my eye doctor. You know, I eventually went after becoming very dependent upon the artificial tears, and my eyes were constantly bothering me, and I thought I was dehydrated, and I would drink more water, and nothing seemed to help. So after going to my eye doctor, I was diagnosed with chronic dry eye disease and prescribed Restasis. So I've been taking that twice a day, and I've had great results and no longer walking around uncomfortable like I was for so long.
Well, I want now to get to Dr. Christopher Starr because so many people don't know about dry eye syndrome, you know, what it is, what the symptoms are. So how would you describe dry eye syndrome, and who is most likely to have it?
Well, yeah, so good questions. Dry eye disease is extremely, extremely common. Well over 25 million Americans have the condition. So most of you, have at least half of your listeners probably have it right now. Kyle and I both have it, so there you go. The symptoms are most frequently feeling a gritty, sandy, dry eye sensation in the eyes. In my experience, there's a whole host of other potential symptoms as well, sometimes that are not actually attributable or that are commonly attributed to dry eyes, and that's fluctuating vision. If you have to blink to clear your vision throughout the day, that's probably dry eye. Having symptoms while you're staring at computers certainly is one of many symptoms. Redness of the eye, sometimes even excessive tearing can be associated with dry eyes, in my experience. So there are lots and lots of symptoms, but I would say to your listeners, anybody who is reaching for bottles of artificial tears or going to the sink and washing out their eyes at any point throughout the day or even, you know, once or twice a week, most likely, or wakes up in the morning with very irritated, sticky, dry eyes. You know, those are all pretty common symptoms, and most likely there is some dry eye there.
Are there certain groups of people that are more likely to have dry eye? I know it can affect anyone, but are some people more likely to get it?
Yes, yes. We know that the number one risk factor for dry eyes is actually age. And so older people, in particular older women, more so than older men, are at risk for dry eyes, and that's due to changing hormone levels over time. But younger people are very commonly diagnosed, at least in my practice, with dry eye disease, and often it's contact lens wearers. Hormonal issues play a role here as well, pregnancy, birth control pills, things like that. People who take certain medications, antihistamines for allergy is a big one. Certainly surgeries like laser vision correction and cataract surgery, all ocular surgeries can make the eyes relatively a little drier afterwards. And there are a whole and certain other conditions, medical conditions, such as autoimmune conditions like rheumatoid arthritis, Sjogren's syndrome is a big one, lupus, often will have a higher risk of dry eye as well.
Well, at the beginning, Kyle wasn't sure that she had a real condition, but she eventually did get her dry eye diagnosed by going to a doctor. So, Dr. Starr, how does an ophthalmologist go about diagnosing chronic dry eye when someone comes to see them and that's what they're concerned about?
Right. So I would say, first off, that it doesn't take an ophthalmologist per se to make the diagnosis. Optometrists are just as good. Any eye doctor can diagnose dry eyes. Usually we base the diagnosis on certainly symptoms. So if somebody has some of those symptoms that I mentioned, and then when you examine their eye and they have some characteristic signs on the exam, then we can usually make that diagnosis accurately. We also have some brand new point-of-care diagnostic tests that have really improved our diagnostic accuracy as well, and we've been employing those. In my practice, we use several of those tests. And when you put all of that together, we can usually make the diagnosis very accurately, very quickly, and institute the proper treatment right away.
And here's a question that everyone wants answered. Kyle, you said that you had found relief from your dry eye by using a product called Restasis, which is something that you have to get by prescription. Is that correct?
That's correct. My doctor prescribed Restasis for me. And I think if people have questions, you know, or wonder if they may have it, they can also look at Restasis.com. And there's also a list of, you know, symptoms that they can help them diagnose, but also doctors, you know, recommended doctors as well.
And I just finally want to ask Dr. Starr, can you use artificial tears along with Restasis? Is that possible?
Yeah, 100%, yes. We usually recommend that. And certainly in the beginning when you're starting Restasis, because Restasis can take a few months to get a clinical benefit, usually somewhere in the 3 to 6 month range, and during that time, one will probably need to use artificial tears more commonly. We do know from the big pivotal trials of Restasis that after 6 months, or at 6 months and beyond, that the use of artificial tears in most of the patients was decreased, and that the reliance on artificial tears was less. And so over time, and that's one of the metrics that I use to gauge how well my patients are doing. If they tell me, oh, I don't use artificial tears anymore, only once a week or what have you, I know that the Restasis is doing what it's supposed to do.
Kyle Richards and Dr. Christopher Starr in conversation with Carol Marks. The topic, chronic dry eye, and if you'd like more information, go to Restasis.com. That's Restasis.com. I'm Michael Harrison. Coming up next, we'll be joined by the Vice President and Executive Editor of the trade magazine Talkers, a trade magazine that covers business in the talk radio industry. We'll take a peek behind the curtain and see what's going on in talk radio. That's next.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. Check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engines.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined at this point in the program each week by Kevin Casey, our senior correspondent, who's also the vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers at Talkers.com. Talkers serves the talk radio industry from an inside professional perspective. You know, Kevin, I'm always being asked by people if I think these are the worst of times, or do you ever remember a time before when things were worse? And if you listen to what's being talked about on talk radio just this week, I mean, the terrible, terrible beheadings and the crisis in the Middle East, Ebola virus, unrest around the world.
Global warming.
Global warming, shootings, police controversies. It goes on and on and on, not to mention all kinds of dastardly celebrity scandals, athletes beating each other up, beating up their families. There's nothing going on that makes you say, wow, the world is a pleasant place. But do you think that it's worse than it's ever been? Are things getting worse? Because I somehow wonder about that, and I don't think that's necessarily
true. You know, it's funny. People who are real news junkies always sort of tend to have a pessimistic view, or at least a view that things are always pretty lousy. But I think I have a different view. The reality is, I think due to the vastness of the information age and how easy it is to know what's happening on the other side of the planet at a moment's notice, I think that things are not as bad as they. In fact, I think things are much better. It's a safer time to be alive, at least in the Western world. than it ever has been in history. And I think that statistics would bear that out. For example, if you ask Americans whether they think America is a safer place than it used to be or not, people who say it's either as bad or worse than it used to be, statistics show they're absolutely wrong. The statistics that the government has based on the largest metropolitan areas in America would indicate that violent crime is way down from 20 to 25 years ago and even before that. And that's just one example. I think it's just we're so overloaded, we see everything as, oh no, another tragedy, and we hear about everyone.
And also just the psychology of the now. There's nothing as dramatic or as, you know, pressing as the here and the now.
True.
If it's happening now. But, if, you know, when people say, is the world worse than ever before, I always say, well, think about what it was like during World War II. Think about,
right.
Think
well,
about,
here's a real quick example. Think about when we were young, when a child went missing on the other side of the country, you didn't really hear about it. Maybe it was a small item on the back page of the paper, but most
right.
people didn't know about it. Now a child goes missing, and obviously that's, you know, a concern. Everyone hears about it immediately.
Yeah, yeah. And again, as I was mentioning before, look at the violence and the brutality of the wars that we were in. Imagine the Civil War happening today. We would think that it's the end of the country. The Civil War was so much worse than anything you and I lived in during our lifetime. How about the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, so many things that have happened in the world. So, yeah, things stink, but then they don't stink as bad as they have in the past.
That's our new motto.
Things stink, but not that bad. All right. Listen, folks, if you want to know what's going on in the talk radio world, check out talkers.com. Kevin Casey is vice president and executive editor of Talkers Magazine. Thank you, Kevin. I'm Michael Harrison. A Touch of Gray continues in just a moment.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare-only.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
She's conquered some of the most challenging ski courses anywhere, but with only one leg, the odds were against her even walking.
The growth was stunted in my right leg when I was born, and the doctors told my mother we needed to amputate when I was 5 years old.
Bonnie was helped at a Shriners Hospital, one of a network of 22 hospitals helping kids throughout North America. Shriners Hospitals provide world-class orthopedic and burn medical care, and they offer that care totally free of charge.
The care and treatment the Shriners gave me was a gift. It wasn't just about learning to walk. They helped me to believe in myself.
There's a Shriners Hospital helping kids from this area realize their dreams.
If I went back to the Shriners Hospital and talked to the nurses and doctors, I would say thank you. Thank you for making my dreams come true.
If you know a child they could help, call 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, giving help and hope to kids for over 80 years.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Hmm.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman, who's in conversation now with Dr. William Davis. He's a cardiologist who advocates cutting-edge strategies to help individuals discover self-empowering and effective health practices. He's going to talk to Steve about his new book titled Wheat Belly Total Health, The Ultimate Grain-Free Health and Weight Loss Life Plan, published by Rodale Books.
You're a real doctor. There are all these PhDs who call themselves doctors and tell you about medical things, but they don't know that. You really are a doctor. Is that correct?
Yes, a practicing cardiologist. Though, you know, I also respect some of those people because, you know, it's part of the broad and changing landscape of healthcare, I believe, where we're learning things from the oddest sources. So even general public crowdsourcing. So I think it's also part of the changing tidal wave of wisdom in health. It's certainly not coming from the healthcare industry, right?
No, it isn't. Now, in essence, give us the core of your idea and your diet. I know you don't like wheat and don't think we don't like wheat either, our bodies.
Well, lots of things for your listeners to know. One, the wheat that's being sold to you today as, say, pizza or cake or bread or muffins or pasta comes from a very different plant than your mom or grandma had. So if you looked at the wheat fields, I'm in Wisconsin where I can just drive a couple of miles and see them, you'll see that just before harvest, when they were fully grown, they stood about 18 inches tall. It's not the 4.5 foot tall amber waves of grain we all remember. The seed head is unusually large. The seeds are very large. So there are outward changes that are accompanied by many inward genetic and biochemical changes. So modern high-yield semi-dwarf wheat, that's what they call it, is the product of extensive genetics changes. And it's very different, has very different effects on humans who consume it. So that's the starting place. Because when I saw people remove it, and I didn't expect people to have their lives transformed. I didn't expect people to lose 73 pounds or lose 6 inches off their waist or have their migraine headaches, ulcerative colitis, irritable bowel syndrome, migraine seizures go away. I didn't expect that, but when I saw it hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of times consistently, I knew something was wrong. And that's why I started to dig around and find out what is different about today's wheat compared to the wheat of 1960.
Well, what is it? Well, chemically, what is the difference? Because we've always been told, certainly not refined grains, but that whole wheats and whole grains are good for us. But that isn't so. So what is that essential difference?
Many, many differences. Interestingly, the apologists, the wheat lobbyists, the wheat industry people all say this is nonsense. Wheat has not been changed. You just have to look at it to see, for one. And there are literally thousands of reports from the agricultural geneticists telling us what they did, telling us that they changed wheat in some pretty astounding ways. For instance, there's a protein called gliadin. You know, people talk about gluten.
Yeah.
But I don't talk about gluten because if you talk about gluten, you don't know what you're talking about. The real issue, there's lots of issues. One of them is gliadin. The gliadin of 2014 is very different from the gliadin of 1960. Among the changes is that it's a very, very powerful appetite stimulant now.
Interesting.
And that's because the gliadin protein, when broken down into small pieces, peptides, act as opiates and bind to the opiate receptors of the human brain. For you and me, that means it stimulates appetite, and we eat about 400 to 800 calories every day. It stimulates your appetite mostly for junk foods, but it also has other mind effects like inattention or behavioral outbursts in kids with ADHD and autism, or depression in people prone to depression, mania, the high in people prone to bipolar illness, paranoia and hearing voices in people with schizophrenia, and 24-hour-a-day food obsessions in people who have a tendency towards bulimia and binge eating disorders. That's one protein that was changed by the manipulations of agribusiness.
What about some of the grains that we're hearing about as being helpful? Quinoa, for instance, are they something that are good for us? What kind of grains are there any grains that are good for us?
You know, sadly, when there's a finger being pointed at a problem, there's plenty of people and companies who step in to make a profit from it. And so we've got to be careful here. We want to be we want to follow clean logic. We don't want to follow the false, flawed logic of nutrition. And the logic they often follow is this. If there's something bad, and we replace it with something less bad, it therefore must be good. So, you know, just because it's not wheat doesn't necessarily mean it's good. So jelly beans, I point out, are not wheat. It doesn't mean they're good for you.
Yeah.
Quinoa is not a grain. It's a seed. And so, therefore, it's not wheat. It's not a grain. But it has a carbohydrate problem. People say it's high in protein. It's actually not high in protein. It's the same in protein as wheat. But it's got an excess of carbohydrates. So a cup of quinoa, cooked quinoa, will send your blood sugar sky high. So those kinds of foods we have to just consume lightly. This is true of millet, of many other starchy foods like buckwheat, or candy and other sources of carbohydrates for that matter. So just because it's not wheat doesn't necessarily mean it's therefore good. And this becomes a real problem in the gluten-free world where people say, oh, it has no gluten, it must therefore be good. Well, that's a big, big mistake because the gluten-free food industry has chosen four ingredients: cornstarch, rice flour, tapioca starch, and potato flour as their replacement ingredients. So another aspect of wheat is that few foods raise blood sugar higher than two slices of whole wheat bread.
Wow.
And among the highest of glycemic indexes of all foods. So what foods are even higher than wheat? Cornstarch, rice flour, tapioca starch, potato flour. So we don't want to replace a problem with another problem. And this is true of the gluten-free food. So I tell people, the issue here is not gluten. The issue here is not being gluten-free. It's being grain-free. So I picked on wheat as the biggest problem of all. But you know, wheat is a grass. People don't think of it that way, but it's a grass. It's actually the seed of a grass. And grasses are highly promiscuous. They mate with each other, and they share genetics. And that's why, for instance, wheat and rye are almost identical in genetics. And so if you want to go even further, you eliminate all grains. Modern wheat, traditional wheat also. You know, just because it was made worse by agribusiness doesn't mean the wheat of 1950 was entirely benign. It was not known for decades that, you know, even traditional strains have problems. But we go farther and we eliminate all grains now to gain even further increments in getting better health.
So what would a optimum diet look like, and one that you think we could adhere to?
Well, a corollary of this is to say, you know, we're going to reject the eat more healthy whole grain argument. We're also going to reject the cut your fat and cut your saturated fat argument. I'm surprised that the public even talks about that, because that has been debunked many times over. You know, the whole cut your fat, cut your saturated fat, eat more healthy whole grains was never a scientific argument. It was a politically motivated argument. It came from politicians. It got codified into legislative changes. It had nothing to do with science. Big Food was happy to jump on board, though, because once they were over their initial skepticism, they realized it was a bonanza.
Yeah.
And big food companies exploded in revenues with the cut your fat, eat more healthy whole grain message. So that's part of the reason why it's so persistent. It keeps on going, even today, after all these issues have been debunked. So I say to people, in addition to eating no grains, eat real single-ingredient foods, and don't sweat the fat. Buy fatty cuts of meat. Don't trim the meat off your pork or your beef.
God, I love you, Dr.
Chicken. Save the bones to boil for soup or stock, and don't skim off the gelatin or the fat. So we embrace fat because it's satiating. It helps. Many people start this journey wanting to lose a lot of weight. Well, eating more fat helps you do that, counterintuitively. Yes, it's high in calories, but it's also satiating, and it accelerates weight loss.
That's Dr. William Davis in conversation with Steve Wiseman. His book is titled Wheat Belly Total Health: The Ultimate Grain-Free Health and Weight Loss Life Plan, published by Rodale Books. Steve Wiseman returns in just a moment, talking about email scams. That's next when A Touch of Gray continues.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
For almost every American worker, Social Security is part of the plan for a secure retirement. It's important to know how the program works. If you have questions, the answers are easy to find when you visit www.socialsecurity.gov. Use the retirement estimator to get a benefit estimate. Browse our frequently asked questions. You can even apply for benefits online. Visit www.socialsecurity.gov to figure out your retirement plan. That's www.socialsecurity.gov.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair. We come to the final segment of this hour of our broadcast and continued conversation and information from Steve Wiseman, Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's an attorney. He is a fabulous writer. He's written a number of books about scams and fraud, and he's there to protect all of us. He certainly is one of the leading experts in America on the subject of scams. He's written Identity Theft Alert. That's his newest book, published by Prentice Hall. He also wrote The Truth About Avoiding Scams, a Prentice Hall book. And the website, scamicide.com, is a must visit if you're interested in protecting yourself from all the scary stuff out there. Steve is here now to talk about email scams. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, when I was thinking about what to talk about today, all I had to do was go to my email account and look in my email box, and I found a number of the same scam phishing email that I'm sure you're getting. We all use email, and when something is popular with everybody, it's also popular with identity thieves. And what they do is they pose as your email provider, and you'll get an email. It follows a similar pattern. It looks like some of them are really awful counterfeits. Others are pretty good. But they all indicate there's some kind of emergency that requires your immediate action. Maybe it relates to an unpaid bill, a security problem, an administrative problem. I got one here. Your mailbox has exceeded the storage limit of 1 gigabyte defined by the administrator, blah, 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 blah. You cannot send or receive new messages till you revalidate your mailbox. In any event, it's all the same thing. They're
identity thieves are counting on us to react emotionally and immediately and click on the links provided in these emails. Now, if you click on these links, one of two things can happen, and both of them are bad. The first is you may be sent to a website that, again, looks official, asking for information, like your email address, credit card number, password, personal information. This is information they gather to make you a victim of identity theft. It's called phishing. You're lured to a phony website that gets this information from you. But the second thing's even worse, more insidious. By clicking on the link, you unwittingly may be downloading a keystroke logging malware program. This is going to steal all of the information from your computer, including your social security number, your passwords, credit card numbers, banking information, and then the identity thief, once they get this, they're off to the races. One of the things to also remember is, you know, what if you're one of the smart people? And what if you're one of the people who is using good security software? Don't count on it, because the best security software is always at least a month or two behind the latest scams, the latest malware. So what do you do in a situation like this? If you get something like this and you know it's just obviously crap, you don't click on it and you just delete it. But if you think that it might be legitimate, and you do this with anything, you don't click on the link in any email that you get, because you can never be sure if it's legitimate. Go to the real AOL, go to the real Gmail, go to the real Yahoo, and check there if there's an issue. That's the only way you can be secure.
Thank you, Steve Wiseman. And again, if you want to protect yourself against scams and fraud, go to scamicide.com. Steve's latest book is Identity Theft Alert, published by Prentice Hall. And Steve Wiseman is a member of our ensemble. He is a senior correspondent here in A Touch of Gray. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin Casey. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer. Thank you, Carol Marks, host and founder of the program. And thanks to all our affiliates across the country. On behalf of all of us at A Touch of Gray, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.